Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Well, less than a month ago, President Obama repeated his wish to close the Guantanamo Bay detention facility in a national speech. Specifically, he addressed the hunger strike that's now in its fifth month there.
Look at the current situation, where we are force-feeding detainees who are being held on a hunger strike. Is this who we are? Is that something our founders foresaw? Is that the America we want to leave our children? Our sense of justice is stronger than that.
Now, since the president said that, there are now 104 hunger strikers at Guantanamo. 41 of them are being force-fed by personnel there. The size of the facility's staff is also growing. Carol Rosenberg, reporter for the Miami Herald, says there's no end in sight. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Todd.
Thanks for joining us. Carol, no end in sight. Why? What's going on in Guantanamo that we can't solve there?
Well, for starters, the general who has oversight on the prison says that there's nothing that the military can do to solve this hunger strike. He calls it hunger strike light, and he says it has to burn out on its own, that the military has nothing to offer the prisoners who are now in lockdown for almost 2 months to help end this protest.
Nothing to offer them. What does that mean? They just have to tire out, lose their motivation?
That seems to be the hope on the side of the military. Last month, the president said that he was going to assign two new czars, point people, to work on Guantanamo closure, one at the State Department and one at the Defense Department. And it seems that nobody wants the jobs. They haven't even floated a name. Meanwhile, the military's answer seems to be, as you said, just throwing more and more troops at it. They brought in 37 extra Navy medical workers. 124 MPs arrive tomorrow. And down here at Southcom, the Pentagon's headquarters for Latin America, they say the goal is to grow the prison camp staff to 2,000 troops and contractors for the 166 prisoners.
Carol, what is the thought of the logic of sort of flooding the zone with personnel? How does that help the hunger strike? Or is it related directly to the hunger strike at all?
Well, it's clear that the hunger strike is extremely labor intensive. Now that you have everybody in lockdown, or all but about 15 prisoners in lockdown, each man inside his own cell, leading a solitary existence, guards have to remove him from his cell in shackles, one guard on each side. He has to be taken to showers in shackles. He has to be taken to the rec yard in shackles. He has to be taken to his forced feedings in shackles, and then shackled into a restraint chair where these Navy nurses and corpsmen put these tubes up their nose, down the back of their throat, and into their stomach to feed them twice a day. It's extremely labor-intensive.
And we understand that those personnel, the officials that you're describing, have told themselves that this isn't force-feeding. I'm not sure I understand how it's not. What do they say?
This is part of the semantics that have gone on at Gitmo for more than a decade. We call them prisoners. They call them detainees. We call it force-feeding. They call it enteral feeding. And remember, nobody's seen this process. Part of it seems to be that the detainees are no longer having to be tackled, shackled, and carried out of their cells for these feedings, that they are, in the terms of the military, compliant, meaning they're just not putting up a fight anymore. The military sees this as part of maybe a choreographed protest, that the prisoners know they'll be fed so they don't fight. The guards know that the prisoners want to be fed in their interpretation, so they say it's not forced feeding. They say it's re-nourishment or enteral feeding. As for why they need to shackle them into a restraint chair, they say that's part of forced security.
There are 104 hunger strikers now at Guantanamo Bay Prison in Cuba. 41 of them are being force-fed by personnel there, at least semantically. Carol Rosenberg, reporter for the Miami Herald, who has spent a lot of time at Gitmo. Carol, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.